Could you find the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2? Our text will be verses 8 through 14. When you found that, if you're able to stand with us, I want to read these verses in your hearing. And you'll have plenty of time to sit and meditate on what God is saying to us, but let's stand in His presence. It's a great blessing, actually, to stand in the presence of the Lord. We stand acknowledging that the Scriptures are not words of men. The Scripture is, in fact, the Word of God. And we stand because we want God to speak to us. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Luke 2 and verse 8, it reads, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Amen. Father, here we are looking to You as little children look to their earthly parents. Father, we're looking to You now. We need You. Speak to us, Lord. Your children listen. Then grant us grace to hear, understand, and obey what You say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Last week, I talked with you about the way godly change in our lives reveals the glory of God. So we took time to back away from all of the details in this life of sanctification. We took time to get back far enough to see how wonderful it is, first of all, to be reconciled to God, how wonderful it is to be joined to Jesus Christ. We took time. You back away from it far enough so that you can see this is nothing short of what amazing miracle, that sinners have been joined to the eternal God, the Lord alone. And we saw then the marvelous glory that comes as Jesus Christ would change us more and more into His image. Isn't that wonderful? So we looked at the glory that came through those changes. Now, I mentioned to you last week that Jesus came into the world in the flesh. In other words, Jesus was born to bring His glory to sinners. But He was also born to bring sinners to His glory. Isn't that great? Today, we are simply going to contemplate the glory that surrounded the birth of Christ. The glory that surrounded His birth. I made this statement last week, and this is where I want to begin today. There is glory in all of God's activities. Glory in all that He does. You all remember our definition from last week? Theologian Wayne Grudem, a gifted man given to the church by God, Let me read his definition so that everybody, we can all start at the same place. This is Wayne Grudem's definition of glory. I think it's very succinct, very clear, very thorough. Listen to it. God's glory is the created brightness that surrounds God's revelation of himself. All right? His glory is brightness, it's brilliance, it's light. He's created the light, and it surrounds him as he reveals himself. All right? He goes on to say that this glory of God is the visible manifestation of the excellence of God's character. So not only is there light, this is not just light shining like that bulb there, but God's light is actually the way he's making his character visible. His character is so wonderful. His character is so glorious that it brings forth this emanates this light that is so awesome. It's so wonderful. It's filled with compassion and love and grace and mercy and patience. It just breaks forth in light. I can't describe it. But I look forward to seeing it one day, don't you? It's going to take all of eternity to just begin. You know, it's like looking at this huge mountain. And it doesn't matter what angle you have, and you see something different. You talk to some person that's on that side of the mountain, they see something different than you. It's all the same mountain, you see. But it's so awesome that you just keep walking. It's just going to take all of eternity. Amen. Just to marvel at the glory of God. It's wonderful. But you see, God has made some of his glory known to you and I now. Isn't that good? Give you a little foretaste. Just a little foretaste of glory divine. So there's glory in all of God's activities. Let's take just a quick look then at the birth of Christ. First of all, I want to convince you of this. There was glory in Mary's womb. All right? Glory in the womb of Mary. Now, you know the story here in Luke. The angel Gabriel comes to bring this message to Mary. And we'll pick up the story, chapter 1 and verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Verse 32, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" This is glory, my brother, my sister. This is nothing less than glory. Look at this thing. You got this. Mary was just a poor Jewish virgin, engaged to be married to a common laborer, a carpenter. This is phenomenal. No distinctions, no earthly status. What's your point, Brother Willie? Here's a statement that I wrote for myself. The glory of this unborn infant was not to come from his parents. So God made it such that there would be no way to misunderstand where this infant's glory came from. It wasn't because his mother was famous. It wasn't because his father was famous. They had no worldly distinctions. But the angel said, "This infant's got some distinctions." Right? The angel said he will be great. You're not great, but he is. The angel said he'll be the son of the Most High. Hallelujah. And he will be the king. Then he said his kingdom will be eternal. Right? He'll be conceived by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 35 said he'll be called holy and the Son of God. I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, open your eyes now. Look at this glory. This is amazing. This is wonderful. This woman's just going about daily life. God from heaven comes, bestows this great honor on her. This is glorious. You're going to bear the King of glory. He'll be in your womb. The Son of God, he's holy. In your... I wish I could get around this myself. This is phenomenal. Glory. In this average woman's womb. The glory. You see, what are you talking about, Brother William? You see, this is nothing less than the glorious character of God being revealed to Mary. Yes. Right? What is God's glory? It's his she's telling him all about his wonderful character. Mary, all of this glory is going to be inside you. The Son of God, the Son of the Most High. His name is holy. He is the Son of God. Oh, this is wonderful. The glory in Mary's room is revealed to Elizabeth and to unborn John the Baptist. Right? You see over in verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." You see, that's the point. It's the fruit of your womb, Mary, that's causing all disturbance. Mary had seen Elizabeth lots of times, I'm sure, but nothing like this. Oh, when God gets to work in you, it's different. It affects other people. And they know the difference. They may not be able to put their finger on it exactly, but they know something. Haven't they asked you that? What's up with you today? She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for what? Joy. Joy. He ain't even born yet, and he knows. I'm in the presence of glory here. This is not a fairy tale. This is wonderful. And you know, how is it that the world can say that you're not a baby until you're actually in somebody's hands? When the Bible says, this baby leaped for joy in her womb. We need to listen to God. You see, because it really wouldn't have mattered whether she was 6 months or 6 weeks. If God wanted the baby to leap, he's going to leap. Blessed is she who has believed, there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken. So the glory of Mary's womb is revealed to Elizabeth and unborn John the Baptist. Well, I want to leave this point, but here's what I want you to remember. Listen to me, every Christian, I want you to remember this point, all right? I wrote it down for myself. This is the way I said it. Believers do not derive this kind of glory from our parents or any earthly ancestors. I believe that's the message shouting, all right? So don't keep walking around with your head down, talking about your parents and you wish you weren't here. That's not the point. The glory of God is irrelevant of what family line you came through. Amen. God reaches into some of the worst situations, doesn't he? To bring some of the greatest service in this world. So if that's been troubling you, I want you to hear the message loud and clear. This kind of glory does not come from your parents or your ancestors. So I'm also wanting to tear down anybody who's been riding on that. Just because you came from a family who was all that. And I don't just mean earthly. Some of us brag too much about our family's spiritual tradition and heritage. Can't ride on that, my brother. From the Lord. We together on this? Amen. So that's the number one thing. We see glory in Mary's womb. Let's look on. I want to show you something else before we're done here. I believe that there's also glory in the manger. All right? Flip on over to chapter 2. Chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, so to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child." Verse 6, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." A manger. You know, you've heard the stories, right? A manger was a trough for feeding animals. A manger was a trough for feeding animals. Why is the King of Glory born in a trough for feeding animals? You see, you could ask the same question. Why is the King of Glory born to a little insignificant, poor girl about to be married to a common laborer? Well, now, what did I tell you? There's glory in all that God does. So I believe there's glory here. We just got to look for it, all right? I believe that one of the things that God is shouting to us is this. Christ was born in a manger to show that he was born without worldly fame. He was born without worldly wealth. He was born without worldly popularity and influence. Amen. Born without worldly power. The manger is only mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke stresses the humanity of Christ. Look at him. Look at him as a real baby. Luke, the physician, wants the Christian to realize this is a real baby. This is the real God-man. And he was really born this way. The manger symbolizes humility. The manger symbolizes poverty. And I believe the manger symbolizes rejection. There was no place for him to lodge where most people stayed. That's a gospel message. There was no place for Jesus where the majority of people are. Isn't that what the gospel says? The road is broad, gates wide, that leads to destruction, and what? Many are they that follow on it. The gate's small, the road's narrow, that leads to life, and what? Few are they that find it. So there's a gospel message here. But look at the glory in his humiliation. Look at the glory of Christ in his self-denial. Look at the glory of Christ in his sacrifice. For though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, right? But he made himself of no reputation. He made himself nothing. Coming in the form of a servant, right?
Yes.
Being born in the likeness of men. Look at his humiliation. Let me show you something. Turn to 2 Corinthians 8. Look at his sacrifice for us. My brother, my sister, I'm hoping that we can all get a little peek of this glory now. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," you hear it?
Yeah.
"Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." Why? "So that you by his poverty might become rich." That's glory.
Amen.
That's self-denial. That's sacrifice for you and me. You know how the Gospel of Matthew said it, the Son of Man came not to be served, but what? To serve and to give himself as a ransom for many. That's the glory. Here's the point that I see here. The glory of this infant king did not come from his place of birth. So you can't go back and point to his place of birth and say, that's why Jesus was so famous. That's why, think of it. We're talking about little nothing people, a little nowhere place, but changed the whole, he turned the world upside down.
Amen.
The glory of this infant king did not come from his place of birth. What's the message to you and me? I believe the message is that believers do not derive this kind of glory from our place of birth. I know that troubles a lot of us. You weren't born where you wanted to. Sometimes you get ashamed to tell people the circumstances under which you were born. Yes, my brother, my sister, let me set you free. There are no accidents.
All right.
Your parents were not an accident.
Yeah, right.
The place of your birth was out. And that's the reason I believe God gives us this. There are no accidents. Now, I'm not saying that your situation was a pleasant one. That's not the point. God can turn misery into joy. Right? Even though somebody might have intended it for evil, God can turn it into good. So if that has been a troublesome thing for you, I hope you receive this. Believers do not derive this kind of glory from our place of birth or the circumstances of our birth. All right? You follow with me so far? Glory in Mary's womb. Glory in the manger. The last thing I want to show you is how God revealed the glory of his Son to the world. You know, I was kind of reading through this and I thought, well, you know, God revealed his glory, but it was just to a few people, right? Mary got to see it. Elizabeth got to see it. And then here in the manger is, you know, Mary and Joseph, whoever else was present there. But God is about. God does not bring Christ into the world to hide him. So he was born to insignificant parents. He was born in an insignificant place. But God is about to make his glory known to the world. Why are we singing Joy to the World? You wouldn't know how to sing. You wouldn't have any joy to sing about if God hadn't revealed his glory to more than these few people here. Right? Look at the glory that's revealed to these shepherds. You got now go to our text. Go to Luke 2 and look at, I'm going to start with verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel appeared with God's glory. Now I thought through this thing. You all know that the angel has already appeared two other times before we get here, right? The angel appeared and told Zacharias that John the Baptist was going to be born, right? Gave him all those details. The angel, Gabriel, told Zacharias. Gabriel then also went and told Mary what was going to happen with her wonderful pregnancy. But in neither case was there glory. Neither case did God bring his brilliance, the brilliance of his character, and his glorious light into the situation. But now, this time the angel's coming with glory. And there's got to be something different here. Would you agree with me? Now, this is my assessment of the situation. I believe that the glory was a confirming sign that this message was glorious. That's not minimizing the other things that were told, but what's about to be told here is glorious. This is not just for Mary and Joseph to know. This is not just for Elizabeth and John the Baptist to know. What I'm about to tell you is for the world to know. This is a glorious message. Imagine the brilliance of God's character shining forth like the sunlight at night. You remember? These shepherds are tending their sheep when? At night. There they are minding their own business. They're nobodies, just like you and me. Nobody even knew they were there, but God. When you carrying on your daily business, you don't think anybody cares and anybody knows. That may be true, but you're leaving out one. God. He knows where you are. He knows when people have overlooked you. He knows when you've been misused and abused. Though they may forget you, God won't. Isn't that good news? Imagine the brilliance of God's character shining forth like the sunlight at night. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's undeniable. You see that phrase? You look in your Bible. You see the phrase at the end of verse 9? They were filled with fear. It literally could be translated, they were frightened with great fear. Wouldn't you? You're here in the nighttime. I mean, it's enough for an angel to show up when you... Some people think you want a visit by an angel. Read the accounts of folks that got visited. Zacharias was so shocked. Matter of fact, he had to stop Zacharias from talking. Amen. He couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it. So it's enough that this angel showed up with these shepherds. But then this glory around him. Amen. They were frightened with great fear. This is the natural response of any human being exposed to God's glory. It happened to Israel. Happened to the Old Testament priests and prophets, right? It happened to Peter, James, and John at the Mount of Transfiguration, Paul. Now, God declares there is no one like me. Doesn't he? So obviously then there is no glory to compare to God. There's no way for you and I to sit here and try to compare what this must have been like. You can't do it. There's no one like God, so you cannot compare his glory to anything. It's exceeding abundantly beyond all that you could ask or think. It's beyond what eye has seen, ear heard. It's beyond all of that. Now, shepherding was a lowly, demeaning occupation. See, we don't think of it that way because we have shepherding glorified in our American culture. Shepherding was a lowly, demeaning occupation. In many cases, they were outcast. That's the reason I say that they were forgotten. Certainly not recognized. God does not reveal himself to us based on our social status in life. Isn't that good news? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Is that what Isaiah said? And he has anointed me to bring good news to who? The poor. To bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive. God is no respecter of persons. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1. You got 1 Corinthians 1? Now, Christian, I'm talking to you. This is for us to lay hold of the wonderful glory of God that's been brought to us. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world standards. Every Christian can say what? Amen. Not many were powerful. Christian can say amen. Not many were noble, of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And every Christian can say amen to God. That's the reason we have hope. The glory is revealed to shepherds. And then lastly, the good news is revealed with glory. Can you turn back to Luke 2? The good news is revealed with glory. Just the way God works. He works in a glorious way. Verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels Look, it's as if as soon as they got that out, there was enough with this one angel and all this glory. But as soon as he told them the good news, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, those with whom he is pleased." What in the world is going on? Well, this is the way I tried to summarize it. The good news is that this day in the city of David, a Savior is born. This is the good news. Today, a Savior has been born. This is the good news. The one, the promised one that God promised ages ago has come. The one that you've been anticipating has come. The one who will take away the penalty and the power of sin has come. The one who removes the wrath of God has come. The one who reconciles sinners to the God of glory has come. He's here now. That's the good news. God has taken on flesh. You can see him. You can touch him. You can hear him. Oh, this is good news. He's no longer far. He has come to dwell among us. And he is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. With this great and glorious good news comes a great army of mighty angels from heaven praising God who has made peace with sinners through his Son. The angel knew about the glory of Christ before he came to the earth. The angel knew about his majesty. They knew about his riches. They knew about his honor. They knew him in all of his eternal glory. So, you can imagine, they had to be amazed that the Creator, my Creator, is lying there in a manger. My Creator was actually in the womb of a woman that he made. Imagine there. We knew that God said to Adam and Eve that I'm going to work out a plan. I'm going to work out a Savior is coming. Who knew that it would be the Creator? Oh, this is glorious. Oh, it is glorious. So think of the angels. Can it be true? Can it be true that one who was so highly exalted, can it be true that the Creator could humble himself to such a lowly estate to save sinners? Can it be true? All that they can say is glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. What else can you say? I can't imagine, because they didn't know how this was going to be worked out. They've got to be awestruck that God came himself to save sinners. Oh my, oh my, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption. Adoption as sons. All right. Oh, it's glorious good news. Yes. Christian, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Yes. The glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's glorious. Yes. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us. That's glory. That's glory. That's glory. That's glory. Because now you and I, in December 2005, can say, having been justified by faith, we now have what? Peace. I ain't talking about temporary peace. Having been justified by faith, we now have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever leave that out. That's the only way we got peace. That's the glory. That's the glory of it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Yes. The angels praise him. Yes. The Elizabeth praise him. Yes. John the Baptist praise him. Yes. Mary praise him. Yes. Zechariah praise him. Yes. The wise men praise him. Yes. Simeon praise him. Yes. Anna praise him. Surely you and I can praise him. Yes. Why can't we praise him? Hallelujah. What's wrong? Because God said, if you don't, the rocks will cry out. The trees will cry out. We got to praise him. Oh, my. Can't you see it? The Savior has come. God pulled it off. He did it. Just like he said he would. Just like he said he would. Look at the joy in your... Where does joy come from? Amen, it's the joy of the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord. I know that this is not traditional. We don't normally do this, but y'all stand up. And I want you to turn to page 59. Can you find page 59? The glory of the Lord should be shining bright in the heart of every believer. The light of heaven is shining bright in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. so that you can see God has made peace with you through our great Lord and King. Do you love Him? Do you adore Him? Do you worship Him? Do you praise Him? Well, surely, I looked at this song last night. And I don't want you to sing what Brother Brad said. It's not a Christmas carol. I want you to sing it like this is true. Sing it like you mean it. All right? Sing it like you're praising Him. Praise Him for His glory. Praise Him for the wonder of it all. All right. Oh, come. Let's sing together. You ready? Oh, yes.
Oh, ye.
Yes.
Joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
Come. Back to verse 2.
Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation.
Sing all you bright hosts.
Sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above.
Glory to God.
Down.
Put your books down. Hallelujah.
Come let us adore Him. Come let us adore Him.
All right. Women and girls. Women and girls. We'll praise His name forever.
We'll praise
Women and girls. Softly, I want you to be seated. I want you to think about your own soul.
Yes.
Just take some time to just enjoy Christ for a few minutes.